Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we warn you.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Happy holidays. It's the first day of Hanukkah.
We say Merry Christmas around here.
Uh-huh. So,
Christ.
Yeah, we will be. I actually have...
Christ.
Jesus.
Fucking Jesus, Freddy.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Stop.
Okay.
He did not get nailed to a cross for you to say happy fucking holidays.
Santa Claus is white.
Say what?
So is Jesus.
So Andy's going to review all the creatures we're stirring for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
He's my friend.
Turns out it was soup.
Oh, they were stirring the soup.
It's adorable. And Amy, that was Amy's job.
Yeah.
And she
failed.
Outsourced it to Andy.
Yeah.
I see all these jobs. Let's go to foreigners.
Foreigners taking our jobs.
Andy's doing all the jobs that Amy doesn't want to do.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Actually, it was just a case of poor planning that you didn't have time to watch it, right?
It was just, my life is out of control in
many
ways.
She's a very important person.
No.
She thinks she's better than us.
Yeah.
Well, she is.
Well, that's true.
And we're going to wrap up more Cushingly for the Pushingly. One of my favorite named themes, thanks, Andy.
Yes.
With Robitoni's pick, Nothing But the Night from 1973. Of course, starring Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee.
Oh, wait, they were in it?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And Dumbledore was in it.
Who was he?
He was the young cop. When they got to the island later.
And he wasn't that young. Don't say young. Like, we'll get there.
Which Dumbledore? There was like five of them.
It was Michael Gambon. Okay.
There were two Dumbledores. No, were there more than?
There were just two.
Oh.
It depends on if you're looking at the King James version of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone or the original Latin translation. Anywho, Patreon, thank you so much. Amy got the last of the shirts out in the mail today.
Yay, thank you, Amy.
The shirts and the pins, you damn... fucking international people. You're shipping. Jeezum crow.
Expensive. Yeah.
Australia totally for crying out.
Totally worth it.
Are you that far away?
Yeah.
Jeez, old Pete.
Australia isn't too far away.
Unless you're the United States Postal Service.
I'm just kidding.
It's perfectly. I love you. I love the twos of yous.
You love the Postal Service or Australia? Or both?
I've never been to Australia. Mm. But judging by the people I know from there, you're a little bit all right.
Andy, episode 70.
Why are you staring at me and
74?
Saying
because I can't see Andy through the computer. He's like he's in another room.
Freaking me out.
Andy, we did episode 74 from November of 2007, where Andy, this is on your Patreon page. If you go to patreon.com/NOTLP, you can hear an oldie but a goodie where we talk about Return to House on Haunted Hill, The Blonde Wench Project, which was a porno movie.
That's porn, if you didn't know already.
Do you remember if that was hard or softcore?
It's porn, so... Is there
softcore is no penetration.
Oh, okay. This one, it was just a bunch of ladies masturbating.
So it's a family friendly porno movie. It's the softest of course.
I remember when listening to it, I said that there was no sex. It was just writhing ladies.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Just like the original movie.
Yeah.
We had a couple of pitches. We used to do this segment. If you're not a longtime listener, we used to have this segment. Turned into a lot of work because the ambition behind the segment was you would send us a pitch for a movie and we would create a movie trailer out of it. And then we realized that was a whole lot of work and we all have jobs. and that became reading your pitch, and then eventually we just dropped it all together.
Yeah.
I miss it. I think it was a lot of fun. If this ever turned into like a full-time job, I would totally bring it back. But gotta pay them bills. Mm-hmm. So I gotta go to that day job.
You can just foliate with stuff that's in the
just do it live.
Studio.
Yeah. Just keep like rotten melons around and
some raw meat.
Fleshlights.
Yeah.
But coconuts. Thank you for your support. And I hope you like the new pin and tee design that Kelly did. I got an email from Jimmy B, says he loves it.
Jimmy B!
Just in time for Christmas, y'all.
Yeah.
Unless you're an international person.
Right.
Can't help that.
Yep. Do you celebrate Christmas internationally?
Yeah.
One more patron.
It's a Christian thing, Andy. Yeah, goddamn heathen.
One more Patreon thing.
Yes.
This Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
We're all exhausted. You've spent time with your family. Maybe you didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
You can be with us. If you're a patron, you get access to the NOTLP Discord server where we're going to be hanging out and goofing off and probably watching something crazy and drawing penises on the screen because we can do that shit.
Fred. Well, I'm going to be there in spirit. I don't know how physically, how much I'll be there physically because I'm on my last...
You can just dial in from the toilet like you usually do.
I
know,
but I'm on my last legs right now. For some reason, this holiday season is just very exhausting. Maybe it's because I'm almost 40.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
That could be it.
Yep.
But I'm like, please just end.
It is exhausting. It's been a really, really rough one. But are we all going to be like super bored after the holidays when we're just in the dead of winter with nothing to do? But we won't have nothing to do. We never do.
December 26th. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Boxing Day.
Yeah. Do we know what we're doing?
It's going to be a surprise. We'll figure it out.
Because he doesn't know.
Because we haven't figured it out. Also, we will never announce exactly what we're doing.
Oh, so it won't like deter people from coming?
Well, it's not just that. Also, like what we do, I don't know if it's legal or not half the time. So, okay.
Andy, to hop back on your train of being exhausted, it's this time of year where you are just mad that you have so many friends.
It's worth it, but I'm like the same thing.
I'm tired.
We're hosting again, second year in a row. We hosted Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
And I had ambitions to make a bunch of stuff. And then I realized yesterday
Stouffer's makes mac and cheese.
They make
mac and cheese. It's the best mac and cheese. They do.
So we just got a ham and some mac and cheese. And also, we all went out for our super friends Christmas dinner, which we try to do every year with the three of us plus Mikey B.
Mm-hmm.
And I got real sick from something.
Yeah, that's why we were like a little bit late.
Yeah, this would have come out yesterday, but
with the full crew, but
I was puking my guts out. I was still gonna go. I was ready to record.
I was regardless, exhausted.
But I kept her awake.
I couldn't even deal.
Yeah, they had to deal with me up puking my guts out in our tiny little house. So. Yeah,
it's loud.
Yeah,
it reverberates. It's just awful.
It was either the mix of drinks I had, which were just all cocktails, but I don't know how many I had. I can't remember, but they were all different kinds and I probably shouldn't have mixed all those different kinds of cocktails. Also who knows, it might've been food poisoning too. Cause I was putting everything in my mouth.
You evacuated everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It could be that ass you ate.
Yeah. That ass had turned.
That's what the kids are doing nowadays.
You know, they say Best Buy, but I think it was expired.
What's the lifespan of refrigerated food is 5 days.
Oh, that refrigerated meat is at maximum, the internet told me, 5 days. Although I went with your rules and I got a lot more mileage out of my turkey and I lived through it. Yeah, there you
go. No rules just right, y'all.
We made pot pies and everything.
When did you buy that ass that you ate?
It was pretty old.
Okay. Yeah.
It was an organic ass too.
Did it smell all right?
No, it smelled like shit.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's your problem, sir.
Yeah.
So anyway, we went to the Overlook Lodge here in the Cincinnati area. That's our Shining themed bar.
Every town has one.
Yeah. And ours is named the Overlook. And we went
to their Christmas overlay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we ran into Jacob and gave him a big old hug. Yeah. And then he disappeared into the ether because that man is super busy. And
I want it looked nice. I wish I could have experienced it more, but it was super crowded.
It was. I was real happy that it was crowded because I love to see that their bars are still successful. Yeah. But and also, I'm too old for that shit.
But not when real. I'm there. Don't be busy when I go.
Yeah, I just wanted to sit. Couldn't do it.
I'm the guy who comes in for the drink or two, and then I go somewhere more comfortable, like my home. But the young people who have the energy or are looking to get some, who are willing to hang all night, you know what I mean? Go for that.
Oh, have sure. Fun. Absolutely.
It's a nice crowd. Clean mm-hmm. looking people. None of them smelled like seafood or anything.
Seafood doesn't smell that bad, does it?
Yeah. When a person just exudes it.
Fresh seafood, not so much. Yeah. I was dealing with somebody who smelled like seafood today.
Yeah.
But the kind that was like in an open market, sat out in the sun. I'm not going to get into the details of that
on
here, but it just know that it almost triggered a whole return to the situation from the reason we didn't do the show. Yeah. Puking almost. It was super gross, man.
So, Amy, what was your reaction when Freddie was like, "Bwah!"
Well, I can't do it justice. I'm going to try to find the words. It's upsetting. Uh-huh. It's disquieting. It rocks your soul. Something is wrong.
But were you more grossed out or worried?
Well, grossed out, because I know that sometimes, I'm not saying you did it this time, but there have been times where you didn't put the seat up and then you splatter.
Oh, I threw up and splattered?
Yeah.
You sure that wasn't my ass?
Could have been.
That would explain the seat being down if I was on
it. I just know that I really had to pee.
Yeah.
And I knew I was going to have to go in and do some cleaning first and try not to pee my pants.
Does this go under TMI? Is this stuff people want to hear?
Oh, people are always, it's like everybody does it.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah.
It was really, really bad. It's the kind where it's so painful and uncomfortable and you're so sick you can't even read.
Yeah, as opposed to those comfortable pukes.
No, I'm talking about the whole bathroom experience. You know how you're going to be in there a while. You can't even read the news and concentrate on that.
Yeah.
It's where you have to like hold onto the towel bar in front of you.
You're sweating. You're like, I'm going to pass out. Yeah. She's going to find my body. Oh, I promised her.
Call the ambulance and you got diarrhea dribbling out of your asshole. I'd clean you up first.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever heard like Kelly or Mikey throw up?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay. So it's just me and
just you,
and Freddie, right?
And myself and Freddie.
I think Andy also is a violent vomiter.
Are you?
If I remember right, you made a pretty big racket that time we were all sharing the hotel room.
Which one? Which time?
Well, both times you did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, last time I really got drunk was at Horror Hound a couple years ago, and Amy and Mikey had to listen to that.
sat in the hotel room and Mike is just turning the volume up and then turning it up and then turning it up. And we're just looking at each other like, Oh God, I'm going to have to use that bathroom. But it was fine. It was perfectly fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like at the end of times, Amy's going to has to be the storyteller.
Mm-hmm. I think we've spent too much time talking about diarrhea and vomit at the beginning of the show.
I do have a very quick book coroner.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you mind if we post a separate?
Nope.
Well, you don't mind?
No, I mean, just let me say it real quick.
You.
What?
You know I work hard on all these little fancy bumpers. Quick. You go ahead.
I just finished a novel.
Reading Rainbow. Now you can go ahead.
I just finished a novel called The Vulcan Academy Murders.
Yeah.
And what's that about? Is that about Star Wars? Game of Thrones?
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
It's about 300 pages long.
Star Trek. I'm delving into the world of Star Trek books.
Expanded universe. Ooh, look at you.
And this title grabbed me by the titties. It's like, you gotta read me. And
did it have your consent at least?
Oh yeah. Okay, oh yeah. Good. I was looking for a book. I was asking for it. No, real quick, it's just
wearing
like
a Starfleet uniform.
It's a original series, so it's, you know, Kirk and Spock and McCoy, and they go to Vulcan because something's wrong with Spock's mom, and people are getting murdered in stasis, and it's just like a cozy mystery, but set on Vulcan with Vulcans and shit.
You finished it?
Yeah.
How was it? Satisfying?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Very.
You get it from your local library, didn't you?
I did. enjoyed the shit out of it.
You can get it from your local library probably too.
Maybe it depends on what your local library is like.
Yeah.
Vulcan Academy Murders.
Do you remember the name of the writer, author? Nope. The guy who made it up. Spock.
His name was Spock. It was Dr. Spock.
So there was never a Murder She Wrote Star Trek crossover that I know of. All you had to do was have one of those time travel episodes and they go back to Cabot Cove. Been great.
It was written by Gene Laura.
Yeah?
Yeah. From the 80s.
Did they
Gene Laura.
Did they time travel a lot in Star Trek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Is it confusing or is it pretty straightforward?
It's usually straightforward.
They keep their time travel stuff is usually pretty simple.
Okay. They don't like, it's not butterfly effect stuff.
No, I mean, only the tiniest bit. They'll put that in there. Only the tiniest bit. This is like the early time travel stories that they're drawing on.
Ugh, my mind hurts just thinking about it. Ah.
You're going to be okay.
All right.
I promise you.
Do you guys want to move on?
You know, I could talk about the lady at the post office with the full, with the like curly hairs on her chin. And mm-hmm. then I was thinking about my own chin hairs and it's like, what if I just let them grow? Is this relatable?
Like how, when you say, was it a lot?
Yeah. She was like 90. So it's like, do whatever you want, lady. Of course. But
was she working there or was she in line?
She was in line.
Oh, okay.
But God, working there
at 90, I thought. You know, that'd be a little sad.
But I started thinking, what if I just let it go?
Your chin hairs?
Yeah.
I'd pluck them when you were sleeping.
I got a handful. This is very relatable content. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about.
You can't pluck people without their consent, Freddie.
Yeah, Freddie.
Yeah.
That's a violation of her rights to have hair on her chin.
Pluck you.
You can pluck yourself.
That's going to be your me too, Amy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We should really move on.
I was just thinking about it.
This is getting weird.
Okay, bye.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
I got everything.
Is dinner ready yet?
Merry Christmas!
Bills on bobtails ring.
I can't wait to watch you all die.
All alone on Christmas, Chet.
You sure you don't want to wait in the van?
You know what? I should wait by my car.
You'll be visited by three ghosts. Pure poppycock.
Someone will open a gift, and the next person can steal someone else's already opened gift. This is gonna be so much fun!
Hey guys, come check out this star.
Anything's better than being alone on Christmas Eve.
Anything's better
than being alone on Christmas Eve.
Anything. Oh, Tip Bundy's here to hang out with me.
Hi.
He's charming. Andy.
Yeah.
All the creatures were stirring.
Yeah, they sure were. Yeah, no.
No, no, not for you.
Yeah. Thankfully, this movie was only an hour and 20, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a bunch. It's like an anthology.
Okay.
Okay.
Just Christmas themed horror shorts and real low budget. The wraparound story is this couple, it's Christmas Eve or Christmas. It's Christmas. I forgot which day it was. And they just, they're alone and together. They said they're orphans and let's orphans at Christmas, and because they don't have anybody else to spend it with. So they just go to see this live show, like this play, and the play is them performing these shorts that we're seeing, but but we're seeing something different than what the actors are doing on stage. We're just seeing like a live action version of.
Okay. Yeah.
So it cuts to like a cinematic version of a play of the play they're doing.
Yeah. It was a pretty weak, wraparound story. There was five of them. Maybe one was good. If that, sure. Wow. Okay.
You're harsh, man.
Am I harsh?
It's criminal.
I don't know. I was real tired when I watched this.
I'm sorry. You did me a favor and I shouldn't say anything.
No, it wasn't your fault.
I got up
in time. I was like, yeah, I got up and watched the movie. But it was, I was up. I was, wasn't too tired. But the worst crime a movie can do is make you bored. Whether it's good bored or, you know.
Good bored?
What is
no, no. I mean, even if it's like bad, you're still kind of entertained a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this wasn't even badly entertaining. It was just boring. The first story is this office party. They do a Yankee swap, but it turns into some like Saw trap where all the presents are like booby traps or weapons, and they have to play this guy's game to get out. And it just ended for, it just ends.
Yeah.
You ever see those movies or those shorts such as End? And it's like, what? It's just, it's over?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good that it was over, but you want some kind of answers or resolution. It's just bye. That's what the shorts were saying. This first short was like, see ya, Maudie 5000.
So it was like the intro to this episode that we're doing right kind now. We're kind of like, you know, I'm going to just take a minute and talk about things growing out of me.
My chin hairs.
Yeah.
I only have a few.
Yeah, it just ended. But even the main part of the short was.
Yeah.
The main part of the short? You mean
like the
yeah,
bulk?
Yeah, the bulk of this office saw short was.
Sawfist?
Yeah. Sawfist. Yeah. And the next one was, let's see, what's probably the best one, but that's not saying much.
Damn, Andy, shit.
I know, right?
I'm hoarse.
He angry.
It's this guy. He goes Christmas shopping, and on Christmas Eve, and he's just rushing around. And he's literally the last one in the parking lot, and his car won't start. And this van is there. He goes there for help, and there's some stuff that happens. It's kind of creepy, but the end is like kind of out of left field, and I need answers that it didn't provide.
I think this is the theme of your review.
Yeah, this was probably the best one.
Yeah.
And the next one was the Christmas Carol kind of one where like they get this guy hates Christmas and he's just visited by these ghosts of Christmas past, present, future. Or like I think comedy is probably the hardest thing to do, and when it's not good, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Oof.
Ooh,
this was bad. But the worst one was this like reindeer themed one.
Mm-hmm.
This guy hits one of Santa's reindeer and kills him, and Rudolph comes and gets revenge.
That's kind of cute.
It's cute, but it's just very, very poorly executed. We get like Rudolph point of view shots. And just like,
is the red nose in the foreground?
Yeah, I think it's red when he hit from his point of view, POV.
Yeah.
And you just see like kind of horns just coming toward these people and get stabby.
That noise was indicating death.
Yeah. This was just the shortest one, but it was still kind of just boring.
I'm saddened by this because I was rooting for this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. And the last one started, it had people in it. Constance Wu.
Oh, yeah.
You know her.
Mm-hmm. Hustlers.
Yeah.
And
Fresh Off the Boat. You got Crazy Rich Asians. And she's real annoying because she's always wooing.
What'd you say?
Constantly.
I said infrequent woo.
Oh.
Nope. She's always doing it constantly. Yeah.
You made
Christmas
a joke.
Story where.
See, comedy's hard.
Aliens are involved. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know that I want aliens in my Christmas story, but that doesn't mean it couldn't be done.
Yeah, and that's the last one. And again, the wraparound to story just ends. It's like, bye.
All right.
Thanks for playing. Yeah.
There was very, very little resolution to the wraparound story.
Okay.
Like a cheap HD TV. Not a lot of resolution. Comedy's hard.
Wow. Amy? It must be impossible.
That's what you get for getting those Black Friday deals.
Yeah.
Turns out it's not so much of a deal, huh?
Yeah, sweatshop stuff. So you know who's watching it.
Okay, we're going to make me do it.
Didn't you decide that was what you were going
to
do?
It's the only right thing to do is that I have to do the next one.
So we're not randomizing this. If you're a first-time listener, this is a random thing. But Amy was derelict of duty.
Yes.
And in an avoid court martial, she is going
to Don't put me in Leavenworth.
One. Yeah.
I'm going to watch a movie on Shudder called The Headhunter.
This is made, I believe, by the people who made Thanksgiving.
Really? The one we did
for our viewing
party?
Well, let me read this.
Yeah.
A medieval warrior's gruesome collection of heads is missing only one. The monster that killed his daughter years ago.
I also think that this was screened as part of the Horror Hound Film Festival at some point.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So that could be true. Help me by talking while I look this up to see if you're right.
I thought you were just going to click on the director's name.
Oh, you can do that?
Are you on IMDb?
Now I am.
What a loser.
Sorry. Oh, my God. Andy. Yes, this is from the director of Thanksgiving. Holy shit.
Yep, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ohio boy.
Uh-huh.
It's from Ohio.
I know.
Thanksgiving was actually really enjoyable.
It really was.
I had a great time with it. If you haven't seen Thanksgiving... And you have the means. We'll be right back.
Motive and opportunity. The main attraction. Satisfaction. Guaranteed to rock the chains that bind you. Oh, oh, oh.
Faces of innocence, happy and carefree. But beneath the sound of children singing, there is a hum of evil. Filling their days with the terror of the night.
A coachload of children? I can't believe that.
The children were incidental.
What?
They were accompanied by three illustrious and very rich trustees of the Van Trailen Trust.
The nature of the killing points to one thing. Ritual murder.
I want you to tell me about the fire.
No. Don't talk about it, please.
Try to remember what happened.
It was so cool at first. But the fire came faster and faster.
Give my life for it. But if you're lying to me, if this is some kind of trick.
The Masters of Suspense, Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing, unravel a web of mystery that reaches out from the confines of a hospital to a bleak island off the coast of Scotland.
Is Mary Valley well protected?
Colonel Bingham has made adequate security arrangements.
But he can't protect her from the nightmares in her mind.
Inspector, you will organize local volunteers for a search.
I want every inch of this island searched before nightfall.
Is it a mother's love or a thirst for revenge that drives her to this island? To be hunted like an animal. While the children play, disaster chills the day. And the night explodes with danger.
Don't cut the rope!
I order you, drop that knife! Cut!
Aha!
It's a long ass trailer.
It was.
y'all saw the movie.
Yep. So
from 1973.
You have, this is based on the novel by John Blackburn, who is considered kind of a master of horror when it comes to horror short stories and novels. But I think this is the only horror story he ever wrote that was adapted for film.
Nothing but the Night.
It was supposed to be, I think, the beginning of a trilogy with these Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing characters, but then it didn't work out. And in fact, Charlemagne Pictures, only movie they ever released that was Peter Cushing, or I'm sorry, Christopher Lee's production company. So I guess that didn't work out.
Wow.
They ended up back at Hammer.
This movie brought down a whole studio? Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's a great movie, though. So it was edited by the same guy who edited Wake and Fright, which I thought was a fun
one. Oh, that was a really good one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, Ben recommended that to us. We did that during our Australian theme some years ago. I can't remember when. The director, Peter Sadzi.
Oh, he's like so sad. Sadzi. Oh,
he also directed a few episodes of Hammer House of Horror, which if you've never seen that show, is so much fun. And I think it's on Prime.
Is it like a Tales from the Crypt type thing?
It's like Tales from the Crypt.
Or Twilight Zone-y
type? Yeah.
Oh, wow. I never heard of it.
There's only like maybe 10 episodes or something, but it's got really great casts and writers and directors. Just really, really fun show. So this movie is a mystery, and it kind of feels like it's going to start off as maybe just a regular kind of mystery before, and then we'd spoil.
Oh, yeah.
So watch, if this is on Prime, you can watch it yourself and not have a spoil it for you, which I recommend because it's very good.
It's worth your time.
But it kicks off with these three murders, and they're all these trustees from the
Van Zalen or
Van Traylen.
Van Traylen.
The Van Traylen.
Van Halen. The orphanage.
What a rockin' orphanage.
For fucking weird kids.
Yeah, they were trustees, and
it's great. Like,
they're dead.
The movie just starts off with all these murders, but you don't see who's committing them.
Right.
So there's like a lady, somebody's setting her up so that her car goes off a cliff.
Yeah.
And then another lady's like just sitting in a chair and somebody just puts a gun in her face and shoots her. What was the other one?
I love, real quick, I love when cars go off cliffs.
And they explode, especially when they explode, right?
You just love that?
I don't know what it is, but I just like seeing cars going off cliffs.
It's kind of a classic thing. It's a classic trope.
Toonces?
Toonces as now. They, these are all basically ruled suicides at the beginning, which I don't know how you see that with the gun into the forehead thing. But
they're not quite sure. They understand. Yeah. I think somebody says, you know, like they're all from the same trust thing that they all work for.
Right. And they don't really, it doesn't really raise anybody's suspicions until there's this bus accident
with all the kids in it.
That has like 30 kids on the bus, including our what turns out to be a major character, Mary Valley, who is kind of leading the children in like a itsy bitsy spider variation.
Obnoxious song.
Can I say something about the way she was singing and the way she was moving?
Yeah.
It really disturbed me for some reason. It was, I can't explain it.
Yeah.
The way she looked, her face was, and the way she moved, it was just very disturbing. I can't put my finger on it.
She was a creepy, like, she goes from being like a very vulnerable character to kind of a creepy, so precocious. And the payoff at the end, this is again why you should watch this and not let us spoil it for you, because we're gonna. The payoff at the end, all that makes sense when you look back on why she was behaving the way she was and those little moments like that.
So maybe that is it. Like, maybe it was an acting choice to kind of be creepy, but you don't know why she's creepy.
Well, the thing is, I don't like precocious children.
I don't either. I don't know why. I should like them because they're typically good kids or smart kids.
Right.
But I always imagine that they're going to murder a parent.
Stop being precocious.
Yeah.
Fucking weird. Just be a goddamn dumb kid.
Be a dumb kid.
You only have so little time in your life to be dumb.
Yeah, sit down, watch Frozen for the millionth time.
Yes. Pick your nose.
Yeah.
So the
just
bus
be weird.
The bus crashes, killing three more trustees.
Yes.
This is what really people are like, what?
Many of these peeps are like dead guys.
Like, so why is that?
The Home Office, which in Britain, I don't understand your government in the least. Never will. Okay? Because I don't have time. I barely understand my own.
Brexit, Amy. That's all you need to know.
Brexit. But what is a Home Office? Home Secretary. What does the Red mean? Anyway, Christopher Lee works for them.
Well, yeah. Well, he's part of that group.
Colonel, what's his nuts? It's like policey.
Yeah, he's.
Or is it governmenty? Is it FBI?
Bingham. Well, because I think he's supposed to be kind of like a detective.
Sure, it's fine. I don't necessarily need you to figure it out for me.
Right. I mean, it's just something like that.
It just goes into that bucket that keeps getting fuller of I don't fucking understand. Right.
Like the minister of milk and stuff like that.
I don't get you people. You reelected that motherfucker again. Do you not have anybody? Anyway.
So, yeah.
But I know we have Trump and I can't.
It's all a mess, Amy.
I can't.
You gotta let yourself escape into this movie that's from 1973, right. Where these long before these problems were front and center.
Right. Andy, you're ringling dinging.
That's like a tacky acoustic guitar ringtone. Did that come with the phone, Andy? Do you have framed pictures that came with a frame, Andy? I'm just kidding.
So Mary Valley's at the hospital.
Mary Valley, she has this young doctor, Dr. Haynes. Mm-hmm. They call him that because he wears his underwear on the outside of his pants.
Funny because it's free of the room.
Keith Barron, who, if you're a fan of Doctor Who, way back the Peter Davison era of Doctor Who, he was in like four or five episodes of that playing a cop, I think. And he's dead. He's one of many dead people in this movie who are dead now.
They're all dead now.
Yeah, he starts looking after Mary Valley, and even is he the one that decides to hypnotize her? Is that Peter Cushing?
No, because Haynes is like a psychiatrist, right?
Right.
So he's trying to kind of get Peter Cushing, who is a pathologist.
Yeah.
He's a sir.
And apparently his boss. He's also this character's boss.
He's trying to get like people to pay attention to the weirdness around this girl and kind of these hypnotism sessions he's had with her.
It's because she's saying weird things in her sleep.
About a fire.
That don't make sense compared to her accident.
Yeah.
And Peter Cushing's like, dude, just back off.
Yeah, Peter Cushing seems like he's the guy who got dragged back into solving crimes. And I would have loved to have seen this flesh out into the trilogy they had planned. Mm-hmm. Because you see there's a backstory between Christopher Lee's character, the Colonel Bingham. I just pictured Colonel Sanders as Christopher Lee in my mind for a second. But they used to work together. He must have used to have been a criminal pathologist.
Yeah.
And he's like, at some point he says something about I could get you reinstated.
Yeah, like Christopher Lee has been promoted recently or back into a job he wanted.
Yeah.
And so they're going to start working together because Christopher Lee is like, there is something hinky. We got to kind of understand more about this. And Peter Cushing's like the big man on campus at the hospital. So they're kind of working together. Meanwhile, Haynes is like, there's something weird going on here. And then we got old reporter lady with her big old hat.
Yeah, Carmen Sandiego. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you think that too, Andy?
Yeah, with that big ass hat.
Yeah.
You can't be an investigative reporter with the obvious hat.
Yeah.
Joan Foster.
You need to blend in more.
She was Madame Lazara on Cheers. Do you remember? I think she was the psychic that one of the characters, remember which one went to, but she was also on Star Trek The Next Generation for a series, like a maybe three or four episode stint as Helena Rozenko, which I can't remember if that
favorite
is
character.
Is that one of Worf's parents? Is that the mom? Was she Worf's adopted mom?
I don't remember.
Anyways, I think she might have been. I should have looked that up because it's driving me crazy now. But anywho, she's an investigative journalist and she's
a bulldog.
As she starts looking into this bus accident thing, she puts together that this orphan who survived this crash, her last name really isn't Valley. It is something Harb.
Harb.
Yeah. And that,
that is such a British name.
Yeah.
Harb.
Mary
Harb.
That her biological mother, Anna Harb, is this
fortune-telling murderer.
Yeah, she's like a mystic, but she's also been out of... She's a con artist, and she was a prostitute as well.
She went to prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was for murder, right?
Yeah.
And she spent 10 years... Now, here's the part I'm trying to figure out, right? Mary Valley, she had her after she got out of prison, and somehow she still... Because she was...
I heard the movie said that she was taken away 3 years ago.
Right.
The child, so... But she was in prison for 10 years? So when did she have
She had the baby after she got out, okay. is what I think I pieced together.
Well, and, I think what you are supposed to take away about this woman, Anna Harb, the mother, that she is trash.
Yeah.
But she's fun trash.
She was so fun.
She is fun. I was hoping Kelly would be here. I had a bet with Amy. Remember?
That you would think Kelly would think she was hot.
Yeah, and I thought he would keep going on about how hot she was.
I didn't think I don't think Kelly would think she's hot.
Kelly, would you please, if you hear this, please confirm whether or not you think that Anna Harb was hot. That's Diana Dors, who played this character. She was like England's Marilyn Monroe.
Well, wow. She tragically died young, right?
She also died young at 52. She had cancer. Yeah. But she was a big part of this pro-conjugal visit movement for prisoners. Like the year before this movie came out, she was like involved in this big political movement so that prisoners could have sex with their spouses and girlfriends and so forth.
It's better than raping each other.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
She's trash though. And she's like,
but that's fun my, she's fun trash.
Yeah.
But not a good mom. She's not good mom trash. She's like, I want my daughter back. They can't have her anymore. I want her. So the reporter kind of finagles Haynes,
yeah.
the psychiatrist, to kind of like pick his brain and then get freaky. But then brings the mom to the hospital.
She convinces them to have like some of the hypnosis with the mom present. Right?
Yeah, that might bring something out in these weird memories that she's having about a fire and Victor and blah, blah, blah.
At this point in the movie, don't you feel like,
well, the mother is suspicious about the orphanage. She thinks there's some. She knows there's something up about the orphanage. Yeah.
But they are selling her maybe as the villain.
Yeah,
the mom for sure.
The mom might be a killer, and this is driven home by when she is left alone with Mary Valley and the doctor. Somebody jams a hat pin through the doctor's brain. Yeah. This big star shaped thing, and
kills
and
him.
He did,
which is really interesting because I was led to believe he was kind of be the main character.
Me too.
It was sort of being set up like the reporter and Dr. Haynes were going to be like the crime fighting duo in this.
Yeah.
And
you kind of felt like Christopher Lee and Cushing were going to be supporting cast.
Yeah. And they weren't. After the doctor dies, then things kick into high gear with our Cushing Lee.
So I think that was a really a cool choice to off him so fast.
Yeah, I agree. Like it was maybe in the middle of the second act or even maybe near the end of it. So it was like pulling the rug out from under you because they even, like you were saying, or Amy was saying that there was like a romantic
or
angle.
You were saying.
Somebody said it.
Or Millie said.
Like the reporter and Dr. Haynes, they were having this romance start to build up and all conventional wisdom tells you that this story is they're going to be at least alive into the third act. And then you're like, what?
But this kind of spurs the reporter to, one, she feels guilty because she's the one who brought the mom to the hospital and she thinks she's the murderer. And two, she wants to solve this so she can like make amends to her dead lover.
Okay. When the doctor, psychiatrist dies, is this before or after the mom has a confrontation with the daughter?
After? Before
the confrontation
where she's like whipping, like throwing her around the room and
the mom like is saying, grabbing the little girl going, I'm gonna murder you.
Oh, I must have zoned out during
but
that
I couldn't
scene.
Really figure, is it only was she just mad because the little girl didn't want to come with her, or was she like, was saying, did she notice something?
I think she's noticed something and she says something about, hold on, you're not my daughter or something like that. I think because she senses something's up and she doesn't.
Did I get popcorn or some shit?
Did she know?
I missed that moment.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was a pretty violent scene because she's like grabbing her daughter and shaking her, and nobody's helping at all.
Well, and so then the mom
went on for a while.
They get the girl away from, and the mom just kind of runs off. And at this point, the mom is free, and they think the mom killed Dr. Haynes,
which you would make sense,
I guess. Yeah, just the character didn't fit the actress. I was like, I think the movie wants me to believe she could have.
The author.
And I just never did.
Of the book that this is based on, that was his one big issue with the movie, was her casting.
I think she was miscast a little.
Yeah. Look at that. Amy's thinking just like the writer.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think she played manic and crazy pretty well. Which would, you know, kind of cancel her out as a suspect because you don't think somebody like this can get away with something like that.
But everybody thought she did it. Yeah. They're like Anna Harb, and Anna Harb takes off to get her to do something to her daughter. Get revenge.
Yeah,
you don't
really know for sure, but she takes off. And did you notice she had like the Rayovac cat on her car? That is what that was, right? It looked like it
was like the old timey Halloween cutouts, and she had tarot cards attached to her car, so you think she's all woo woo.
It was a cool car. It was cool. I like the design, but like she gets on the ferry and goes to this island in Scotland where the
orphanage is.
Inver's house or something like that.
Yeah,
and it's very Hogwarts.
And then it becomes a
what lucky orphans. That was a nice house.
Yeah,
it was so cozy.
We were like, this town is so cozy and awesome. And then I'm like, but it's really wet. Yeah. It's pretty just wet all the
time. This is when Michael Gambon shows up.
So this is really where Cushing and Lee become the focus of the movie. They're headed to the island with all the police, and they're going to, you know, head Anna Harb off at the pass and kind of figure out what the fuck is going on. And she's already made her way onto the island. She slipped through there.
They, at this point, they let the daughter... Mary Valley goes back to the orphanage.
Right.
So
everybody's like converging on the island.
So the mother goes after the daughter.
And they know that she's on the island, so they've started a sweep because there's a little boy from the orphanage who goes missing, and later he turns up dead.
Now, I didn't really quite understand that.
I'll tell when we get to the end.
Yeah, I was kind of confused
I'll
too
help you with that one.
About why he was killed in the way he was too.
I'll tell you why.
So they're on. So Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee are on their way over to the island on the ferry, and they see a boat come by, and they're like, "Oh, that's the orphanage's yacht. They take the kids out on it and shit. It's pretty cool." And they're like, "Yeah, that's pretty cool." And it just goes kaboom, and some more trustees die. At this point, they're like, "You know what? Let's do some
some digging.
Something's up.
Something's real weird here."
So
about this, and then the orphanage won't let any police on the ground.
Yeah, they're like going to handle it internally. I love this scene where Christopher Lee goes to the orphanage, and he wants to go in and question you know, the kids and stuff, and they turn him away. And it's the chief. It's the actual. This is the one where the local guy, Chief Constable, comes in and. She says, "Why are you here?" And
who?
To the cop.
Who says it?
The little girl. He goes, "I'm not a cop." He kind of acts like he's not a cop. Yeah. They don't want the kids to get their hackles up. And he leaves. And when she goes back and talks to one of the headmasters, they say that he was there to interview the dog because there were some of the sheep were being killed at the farm next door. It was adorable. Anywho,
okay.
And then Peter Cushing ends up in the helicopter, and they're doing like this search for this 7-year-old boy that is missing from the home as well. He turns up dead with like a star carved in his head, and so again, it seems ritualistic in some way.
And meanwhile, fucking redheaded mess Anna Harb,
she's just trekking through the wilds of Scotland in like heels. And jeans,
leather jacket.
She is not prepared.
She has a king size Hershey bar and an apple.
She's got a candy bar and an apple and a knife. They try to make it look like she's really sinister because she's eating this knife.
I love it when people eat apples with knives.
They're like, this bitch. She's the murderer. Look at her. Yeah. She's eating apple.
So sinister about eating an apple
because it's so unnecessary. Like, you just bite into that shit unless you have bad teeth. Like she did probably have
this last
teeth.
Half. Oh yeah, this last half of the movie is just basically her just climbing hills
and she's just falling
down and eating and running. Yeah,
she's eating that chocolate bar, and Peter Cushing's chopper comes over, and she just takes that chocolate bar and throws it down like she hates it, and dives into the bushes. My favorite moment.
But I will say, I applaud her moxie for going.
For
even attempting to traverse the wilds of Scotland.
The wilds.
So silly.
The wet grass. Yeah.
There's a lot of it. So, I don't know how big this island is.
Peter Cushing. Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing are separated at this point.
Yeah, Peter Cushing's digging through bits and pieces of the trustees from the boat explosion.
Yeah, and during this.
But he says, like, the explosion didn't kill them. Like, how do you not, how'd you found that out?
Well, it's great because the reporter's on the island and she is just being she's a lol pet ball. She's like, give me answers. Yeah. I want to know these things. And I understand that it's a reporter's job, but at the same time, I also feel on the other side that law enforcement needs to keep something secret in order to fucking catch somebody. Mm-hmm. So just chill out. But anyway, she's got Dr. Haynes, the psychiatrist, tapes from the hypnosis. And she's like, you got to listen to this, Peter Cushing. Yeah. He's like, Jesus, fine.
And this is the big moment
where it's Mary Valley who's been hypnotized and she's recounting the murder of her husband. Now she's a little girl and it's like talking about Victor. Well, it turns out Helen Van Halen. What was her name?
Inverse, right?
Inverse was the name of the okay.
Van Traylen.
Yeah. They're the Van Traylens.
Her and her American millionaire husband, started the, I don't, they died. He died. I don't remember.
Well, they got somehow.
There was a fire.
There was a fire. But the main thing is the crux of this is that they are taking over these orphans' bodies through this ritualistic deal where they somehow, I think, get the kids to agree to it. Then they, once they kill their adult bodies, they get to take over the kids' bodies and therefore live forever.
So Peter Cushing like looks at a slide. Well, he listens to tapes and he's like, well, hot damn. And then they run to the lab. Sorry, the laboratory. And he's like, give me that brain tissue slide. And he looks at it under the microscope and he's like, holy shit. Can you see? Look here. You can see where their memories have been put in. I don't know what he said.
You can see memories on the slide.
It was just kind of silly, like silly science, where the effect of what he was saying is that their brain tissue is old and they're young and I don't really fucking know.
But that's where the 7-year-old comes in. He didn't want to give up his body is why they killed him. He was a weak link. He could have leaked their whole situation. So they have this party. It's supposed to be Guy Fawkes Day they're celebrating because she missed it because she was in the hospital.
Poor little dumb Mary didn't get to celebrate Guy Dumb Fox Day. I don't know what Guy Fawkes Day is. I know there's fireworks.
Yeah.
It's V for Vendetta.
Oh, okay.
Well, right? That's he adopted the mask. Yeah. It has to do with the uprising. Yeah. Oh, okay. Something like
Cromwell?
That. I can't remember.
I'm sorry, British people. I used to know this. I'm so sorry.
Tea was involved somehow, right?
Yeah, that's when they threw the tea.
Yeah, in the harbor.
Guy Fawkes did it.
Yeah.
So you don't know your history or theirs.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So, then there's this big, almost a Wicker Man moment where they have one of the adults. You think it's the Scarecrow, but it's one of the adults up there.
It's their mom.
It's the mom.
The mom,
Anna Harb.
That's right, Anna Harb. And a lot happens in this movie. And
Chris Riley's running up like, what the shit?
They pull the mask off and then they just push.
Yeah.
She's tied to the stake and they push the stake into the fire and they burn her alive.
Yeah.
That was a really, really effective scene, I thought.
He screamed, don't cut the rope, which, you know, but they did. And then he's laying on the ground and they got him. And Mary Valley comes up dressed like a grown ass adult. She's like, hello, my name is Helen Van Halen.
And she also, this kind of explains, this is the point where you're like, oh, she was acting so precocious because she's really an old lady.
Old lady! And it's a bunch of kids dressed like
soldiers and like,
It almost looks like Halloween. Old person's
clothes. Yeah.
It's like
they're playing dress up, basically. It looks like they're like,
British children's version of who sang YMCA?
Oh, yeah, the village people, yeah.
But, like, none of them are just dressed normal. None of them are in just, like, slacks and a sweater.
Yeah.
They're, like, in full...
Jumpers, that's what they call them.
Yeah, a jumper and a... What do you call your pants? Trousers?
Dungarees?
Yeah, sure.
Jumpers and trousers.
So what they... How do they break the...
I think he kills her, right? Mary Valley.
No. Does he kill her? Yeah, she gets burned up, right?
She gets burned.
Yeah, she catches on fire. I don't know if it was like even necessarily wholly deliberate, but she burns up. And she kind of curses him too.
Yeah.
But we talk about the scene where they all the kids tie up Christopher Lee and are dragging him toward the fire.
Yeah.
They're playing this game of tug of war where there's he has a rope on each side of him and they're like slowly dragging him, and the overhead shot of when they're in the helicopter. And these kids just dragging this adult toward the fire. That I thought was pretty chilling, actually.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of the end of Wicker Man. Yeah, like the whole, just any, you know, it was like Midsummer with this whole idea that yeah, they're children, but enough of them will overpower
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And, true. But then when they, then
you, their leader dies, their leader dies, they all decide.
Yeah.
I think they decide at that point, that they're found out, like they're not going to mm-hmm. be allowed to just exist.
So they all kill themselves.
They all just go fall off the cliff.
Yeah. Well, like
very dark.
Mary catches on fire, and while she's on fire, she jumps off the cliff. So
yeah.
you see this body on fire, like just falling toward the like the rocks, pretty far too. And that was another pretty
creepy
scene too.
And then it's basically credits.
That's it. They were like, bye.
Well, like just the.
But that's
that,
all you need.
That visual of all these kids just jumping off a cliff.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not kids, but kid bodies jumping off yeah. a cliff was...
It's really disturbing.
Yeah.
You know, also, it didn't need more. I think if this movie were made today, they'd be so tempted to add like a denouement at the end where, you know...
There was a trampoline
something,
down there.
Or something. It, they would just add something to tie Whee! Things up.
This is yeah. fun!
But I
what
really...
What would you do? Okay, so you're Christopher Lee, and you're like, holy shit. I have these kids, but they're really murderous adults in their bodies. Where do you put them? Jail? Mm.
Daycare.
Daycare.
But I would, if a bunch of like preteens were coming after me, I would love the opportunity just to wail mm-hmm. and see if I mean, I could take out before they yeah. overpower me.
Absolutely. Crapsolutely.
That's I mean, eventually I think I couldn't like fight them off anymore, but you know, I just want to see how.
I don't know the way that the kids are drinking the GMO milk and the.
Oh, they're strong now.
They're bigger and stronger yeah. than you.
I mean, I'm pretty short, but I think I could take at least a couple down before sure. I get dragged into the fire.
Yeah. All you got to do is like say, oh my gosh, is that BTS? And they'll turn around and you'll just knock them down.
Hey kids, you want to floss?
Huh? Let's floss.
Dab.
Do they do that anymore?
And I love this movie, by the way.
I just say another thing. this might sound like mean, but all these people look so British.
Yeah.
You know how just you look at a person and they say, oh, they're British.
Oh, yeah. It's they don't get as much sun or fluoride.
It's a smaller population.
But these are like the most British people I've ever seen. Yeah. Just so British. I can't explain it. It's just British.
Why does that feel? Why do you think that's mean?
What? Because maybe you're saying they just don't look. They ain't cute.
No, they're not necessarily ugly.
Andy, but you're painting good. Yourself. Into a, you want me to get you another shovel? Deeper. You can dig yourself but a little
they
deeper.
They just have a very distinct look.
Uh-huh. True.
Yeah. And you can always tell like what region of the world someone is yeah. from, I think. And it's like, there's all, if you look for there's things that happen evolutionarily, I think, where you're like, oh, well, this person has hooded eyes. That's more common mm-hmm. here, blah, blah, blah. What have you?
And like the Anna Harb character, that was like mm-hmm. the most British that ever Britished.
Did you see the other pictures of her when, like, from other movies?
Oh, like I saw that. Like, was she like a bombshell?
Yeah, yeah. You should look sometime just to see. Yeah. She was very much Marilyn Monroe. Like same thing, the blonde hair, the whole look, the shtick even was I think similar.
She had a juicy booty.
Yeah. So what else do you guys, you have anything else to say about anything but the night?
I think
or nothing but the yeah. night, any which way but loose.
I think Christopher Lee looked really good with that mustache.
That was a good mustache.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'll disagree, but that's okay.
You know, it's a very hardy mustache. Strokes.
Yeah.
Different strokes, y'all. This movie is groovier than I've ever seen Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee like be surrounded by.
Yeah.
They weren't very groovy. But other people were grooving around them.
It was jacket porn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jackets. Christopher Lee, his wardrobe was like, ooh, I want all those jackets.
So much wool.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost everything is kind of, from this film, is almost back in style. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For true.
Faux true.
Anything else?
Not Anna Harb's shoes. Impractical.
Yeah.
Very ugly. Thick. Yeah. A thick sole. A thick heel.
For a thick lady.
Yeah.
This is the last episode of the year, except for our year end rear end, which mm-hmm. we'll be releasing on the 29th.
Yes.
Where we will talk about not shit that came out this year or anything like that. We might, but we'll be talking about our favorite moments from the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Movies we reviewed in our lives.
Do we want to do a quick hot take on Rise of Skywalker?
I don't think you can do a quick one on that.
Did you like it?
I liked it.
I like it was good. I think is my least favorite of the new trilogy. My problem with it was they spent too much time trying to correct the supposed mistakes of Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And I don't, it rested too much on the legacy of Star Wars instead of being its own thing. That was my problem with it.
Yeah. We're going to get into a deep conversation about this on Wednesday. The next time we record a Night of the Comic.
So you probably,
so that'll be the week after Wednesday.
You're recording on Christmas? No. You guys are dedicated.
No.
But you're welcome to join us.
So I just want to give my hot take.
What is your hot take?
I loved it.
You loved it? I think I loved it. I haven't decided yet. I kind of have to watch it again to see if I loved it, but I think I loved it.
It lacked, you know, Baby Yoda, and that's fine. Not everything can be perfect.
I really liked Last Jedi, and I felt like the internet just continually tried to convince me that I didn't. And I almost don't want to go out there and look at anything people are saying about this one, because it's just like, yeah, you'd say if you could beat something up enough, you could probably convince someone not to like it.
Yeah, I had fun. I ain't going to let anybody take that. Ain't nobody going to break up my stride.
Well, here's the thing. Has that happened to you where you have one opinion on a movie and then you heard other opinions and it changed your opinion?
Sure, it's happened plenty of times where if somebody picks apart, they keep pulling threads, then it hurts my enjoyment of it, because if I want to rewatch, which I rarely rewatch movies anymore, unless it's something I treasure from my childhood. Like if it's something I've seen in the past, you know, any part of my adult life, I rarely.
It's unlikely that a shark would really behave that way.
Right. It's like somebody could probably go pull strings on Jaws until like they got me questioning whether I'm seeing it the way it is or the way I want to see it. And
there's nothing wrong with seeing something the way you want. Yeah. It's a movie.
But
I know.
I am the least confident person in the world. But the one thing I know, I'm sure of what I believe, my opinions, that I'm very solid on my opinions and nobody can convince me to think otherwise.
But your opinions do change. There's stuff that you don't like now that you liked
but not because of other people.
But
other opinions.
Yeah, maybe not. It may not be in your conscious decision and change, but I feel like those things, no matter how strong your will or your understanding of what your tastes are, you get enough of that pumped into your head, it will influence you. I think like no matter how much like character or whatever you have that whatever resists that, I think like if you get enough of it, that will it can ruin your enjoyment of things.
Well, I can't watch like Jeepers Creepers ever again.
Right, just knowing that,
having that information that ruined.
Yeah.
It's not really an opinion change. It's a can't
that's a
do
person
that.
Change. Yeah.
But also, you do, if you did happen to see something where you learn something bad about a person involved, it will start to color.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Just any information you take on board that gets into your subconscious will color your opinions.
That's different than picking apart a movie.
You're right. I just hate that.
It's similar.
Once
that information's in there, you can poison your mind, man.
Has Star Wars always been like this?
Like what?
Divisive?
A fight amongst factions?
No.
It's really like sad.
It's the internet. It's what
like if I posted like, man, I love this shit.
The internet didn't exist back then, so I wonder how it would have been.
So it's only this trilogy, yeah.
Well, also everybody's. It's. I don't even want to have that kind. I'm just
sick
of it.
I didn't mean to upset you.
No. It's just.
I loved it.
I'm just so sick of going out and seeing people, especially people my age, who we're spoiled right now. We're getting everything we want in some form or another. And if it doesn't fit exactly what you wanted out of it, you're just like throwing a fit. And for me, I'm like, you know what? I'm just happy they're still making Star Wars. And I know they're not going to be perfect. The original movies weren't perfect. They were great movies, but they weren't perfect. These movies aren't perfect, but they're really culturally significant, and I really enjoy that shit.
I will say that what I went back after watching Rise of Skywalker, I went back and watched A New Hope.
I'm trying
to watch all the movies again, and the only things available are the new George Lucas versions, and damn, George, they real bad.
Oh, you mean the changes he had?
Yeah, the changes is so distracting.
Yeah, it is irritating.
That it is. It kind of made me mad.
I look at Star Wars now the way probably people with troubled children look at their kids, where I'm like, I'm just going to focus on the things I like about you.
We need to talk about Star Wars.
I
said George down.
I'll go back and watch the prequels now without any malice in my heart. I'm watching Clone Wars, even though I think the first 2.5 seasons are really dull. But I'm glad I stuck with it because it fleshes out some things I wanted to know.
I can get stuff out of the prequels, but that doesn't make them. My problem is they were just poorly made,
right?
And the script was real bad.
Yeah. And did you feel that way the first time you went to see the Phantom Menace?
I walked out saying that was bad. I walked out of all those movies saying, "Whoa, these aren't good."
Yeah.
But looking back, you know, having some distance away from it, there's certain things I like about each of the movies, but overall they're just objectively bad movies.
See,
subjectively you can like them, but objectively I think they're just poorly made.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't make movies with a green screen.
I remember I saw the third prequel.
Yeah.
I've never seen the Phantom Menace or whatever the second one was.
Attack of the Clones.
I didn't remember it, and then I read that, you know, these were all made with green screen. I'm like, right. Jesus Christ, why would you do
that? Green screen, CGI, this was the beginning of the sanitization of filmmaking, where it sucked a lot of energy out of the performances.
Well, now they're giving you a fully practical Yoda, baby Yoda.
Yeah, which is, reaction to the disconnect.
But that's a real little baby.
I was so excited.
He will save us all when
the prequels came out, though. I was pretty jazzed leaving the Phantom Menace. And then overnight I started stewing on things. And then that's when it started bothering me. And then when Attack of the Clones came out, by then I had soured on the whole concept. But now I, like you're saying, I can go back and pick, and I'll just ignore the stuff that is stupid. I just push it down.
I accept that they're part of the canon.
Right.
And there's nothing I can do, change about it. But, you know, it does expand the story in a interesting way. Yeah. I will say that.
You can ignore them, though. Yeah. I mean, you do. Kelly doesn't ignore it.
I have no interest in ever going back and watching the first two.
Yeah.
That's fair. You can't just build a world on those three movies. The prequels expanded upon that and gave a little more depth to just what was built in three movies. I like world building and other stories besides just the originals that we saw.
Yeah.
I think if they do another trilogy, which I'm sure they will, it's going to move away from that original storyline.
Well, they've said that for certain.
Oh, okay. I mean, I just think they closed that chapter. Mm-hmm. Let's do something. Now we'll do our own thing.
Right.
And people will destroy each other over that.
I mean, people got fired up over Avatar.
Hottest of takes with NOTLP.
I still like Avatar. I saw it three times in the theater, but it doesn't hold up for me. Not because of what people are saying. It's just because I just don't have a connection to it. Because it's just one movie.
I'll tell you, fucking Flight of Passage makes me love Avatar forever, and I didn't really care that much about the movie.
Sivako.
It's a ride in Disney World, bitches.
That'll happen.
Okay. Do we got to say hi to our babies?
We do.
That was a tangent.
Wanted to see if you guys like
our Beelzebubs, Jimmy B.
Jimmy B.
Cassie and Jeremy Burmeister. Baby. Bill Farner.
New York City.
Blake Heath.
Balake.
Amanda James.
Hey girl, I mailed your stuff today. Sorry, it might take a couple days to get there.
Elise Combrink.
Hey lady.
Jeff Lancaster.
Hi sir.
Tree and Alex McNulty. Happy belated birthday, Tree.
She just had
happy
a birthday.
B-day.
Ernie Perez.
What's up?
Mark Watts.
What's up?
Baran and Whitehead and Emily and Travia.
Hey yo.
Iona Goodwin.
I own a good one too.
Ah.
That was like 14 American dollars.
Adam Ingram.
It's not your fault, Iona. 14
whole American dollars.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. Like we say, you know, we couldn't do it without you for certain because the shit's expensive.
If you celebrate, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
You hoes.
Mm-hmm. Happy holidays.
Happy holiday. Bye.
Bye.
Severed.